Good morning. Welcome to Northeast Christian Church. Happy Mother's Day. Ladies, we love you. We're glad that you are here. In years past, we have given flowers away traditionally on Mother's Day, and we thought we would go big this year. And so, ladies, on your way out today, there's a $5 Four Winds coffee card for everyone. And so we hope that you enjoy that sometime this week. Men in the room, if you are affiliated with a lady in the room, your task is to watch the kids or take care of whatever needs taken care of while she goes and gets coffee or tea or whatever she would like. So, ladies, again, happy Mother's Day. A few things real quick, and then we've got to jump into this. I have some good news. Last week, Chris Gilmore and his wife, Stephanie, were here, and they accepted an invitation of ours to be our youth pastor here, so they'll be coming back next month. Early June, so we're excited about getting them here and on the ground and for the opportunity that is for our church and for our youth moving forward. Now, I recognize that we are not all moms, but we all have moms, right? I mean, how many of you were born? Okay, so you have a mom. And so today we're going to celebrate moms as we should. We're going to be talking about woman strong. But before we jump into that, I want to share a few things with you. Mom knew things, right? Your mom knew things. Mom was quite wise. Maybe you didn't think that when you were growing up, but if you maybe now that you've grown up a little bit, you recognize mom had wisdom. Mom taught us things. For instance, mom taught us about a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. She taught us about faith. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. She taught us about logic. Because I said so, that's why. She taught us about reasoning skills. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to be able to go to the store with me. She taught us about irony. You keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. How many of you heard that one growing up, right? Yeah, all right. Mom taught us about problem solving. Shut your mouth and eat. She taught us about achieving the impossible. Would you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? And for the last time, Mom taught us about self-control. If you're going to scream like that, you better be on fire with a stick in your eye, okay? Have some self-control. You know, life must be weird for mothers. Because, I mean, if you think about this, once upon a time, moms were just girls. And I don't mean that in any demeaning way, but I do mean this. You know, there was a time where just girls, they didn't have to worry about many things necessarily. They could eat a whole meal without having to have an interruption, right? They could watch a television show without having to get up and go do something for someone else. They could go to the bathroom without having someone follow them into the bathroom or stand outside the door pounding on the door the whole time they're in there. But then one day, everything changes. After 9 months of body changes, there is a lifetime of changes. The love that you had for that man made it happen. You loved a man, and now there are tiny people in the house. And those tiny people in the house, they steal your heart, and eventually they move out and take your heart with them. That's a little bit about what it might be to be a mom. Now, if you're a Christian and you're a parent, then maybe you can resonate with this a little bit, but there are times that you just pray, God, help me, right? Anybody prayed that before? God, help me. Or maybe along those same lines, God, help my children to survive my lack of parenting skills. I know that I've prayed that one. I've been told that by the time you figure out how to be a good parent, you know, the kids have oftentimes moved out of the home, and now you find yourself a grandparent. And then it doesn't really matter. You just get to do whatever you want, right? You just sugar them up, do whatever you want, and send them back home to mom and dad. But since it's Mother's Day, I wanted to talk this morning about what it's like to be woman strong, the strength that God gives women in particular. We're going to start and we're going to finish in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 25 this morning. And I want to encourage you to circle a few words here, then we're going to circle back to Proverbs 31 later in the message. But Solomon wrote these words, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come." Some versions might say she is clothed in strength and dignity. I want you to circle those two words, strength and dignity. I don't know that those two words, especially the word strength, I don't know if that's how we would initially describe a woman. And I don't mean anything negative by that, but oftentimes when we think of a woman, words that might pop into our minds are more along the lines of kind or gentle or loving or caring. Strength is maybe not the first word that might pop into your mind. But if you think about your mom, and I know that not everyone had this growing up, but if you lived any kind of semi-normal upbringing, you quickly realize there is something real as mom strong. A for instance might be this. Dads can clean the car, right? But moms can clean up a diaper disaster that would make dad hurl, right? Yeah. Mom strong. Dads may be able to lift heavy objects, but moms lift their children up in their thoughts and in their prayers and never, ever forget, right? Right? Never, ever let them go. Dads can carry their children on their shoulders, but moms can carry tough conversations and heavy subjects. There's something to be said for mom strong. Well, this morning I want to talk about three examples from the Bible, three strong women in the Bible. There are, you know, an infinite amount, tons of examples of strong women in the Bible. Sarah, Rahab, Deborah, Abigail, Ruth, Esther, Elizabeth, Mary, Lydia. The list goes on and on and on of strong women. But the three I want to look at this morning, maybe two of you haven't heard of before. Maybe one of them you've heard of, but maybe from a slightly different angle. My hope is that we'll walk out of here encouraged. My hope is that there'll be something for everyone, not just the moms, not just the ladies in the room, but for everyone, that you'll be inspired. You'll understand God wants you to be strong. God has given you strength. When we draw close to Him, He gives us strength. Now, the first woman that we're going to take a look at is the woman named Jael. Jael. And her name looks kind of like jail, but it's pronounced jail. And what I want you to write about her strength is this: protecting her loved ones. Her strength came from protecting her loved ones. Now, I've left a blank under each point this morning. And with that, I want you to write kind of an activator word. What brings that about? And with jail, I want you to write the word love. It was her love for her loved ones that made her strong. Now, I may not be right on this, and if I'm not, that's okay. This is not from the Bible, but as I was kind of thinking over this message and this concept and the differences between men and women, this came to mind. When it comes to love, sometimes love makes men weak, but love makes women strong. You might think, what are you talking about? Well, you know, a few weeks ago we looked at Samson, and we talked about how, you know, his women made Samson weak, right? I mean, his attraction to them, whatever you want to call it, his lust, it made him weak. But when it comes to women, love makes women strong. Have you ever been to a Little League baseball game, right? You ever seen a mom's child, you know, something happens, he gets injured, she gets injured, what happens? She's right there. Have you ever seen that same, for instance, but this time someone's treated unfairly? Or her child is treated unfairly, mom may come unglued. I mean, you don't want to be in that situation. Maybe you've seen a news report where someone's tried to carjack a woman, and there's a baby, there's a child in the car, and she goes ballistic to try to keep her child safe. Last fall, I was up on a mountain, an undisclosed location, doing some hunting with my friend Daryl. And it probably doesn't matter that it's undisclosed, because I haven't gotten anything there, but we were up there hunting, and we'd camped out one night. We were up before daybreak. We were making our way up a trail about 200 yards from our camp. In tents, okay, on the ground. And all of a sudden, before dark, I mean, I've got my headlamp on. All of a sudden, there's this scurry. Just animals go whew, both directions. And then right in front of me, 15 feet, is a bear cub. And immediately I thought, where's mom? She went that way or that way. Which one was it? Well, we quickly realized she had headed off this way. She was calling her cubs. She was grunting, kind of getting them to go that direction. And so we stopped. We kind of made a wide circle around. You do not want to come between a mama and her cub, right? A mama bear and her cub. They say that's one of the most dangerous places to be. You don't want to get in between a mom and her children. Do not mess with moms. Love makes women strong. Now, in our Bible story this morning, the first one that we're going to take a look at, with Jael, Sisera is the villain in the story. Sisera is the commander of this Canaanite terrorist group, if you will. And the Bible says that he has 900 iron chariots. And here's kind of what would happen. He and his boys would kind of roll into Israelite territory, and they would take over villages, and they would, you know, wreak all kinds of havoc, and they would pillage, and they would burn, and they would kill, and they would steal women. And it was horrible what they did. And this went on and on and on. It wasn't just one time, but it would go on and on for about 20 years. And they never could catch him. Well, finally, the children of Israel banded together and decided, we're going to fight against this guy and his men, but again, he gets away. But this time, he's on foot. So he flees, and he finds himself going through a settlement of Israelites who were living in tents at the time, and he chose the wrong tent to hide in. Actually, the story goes like this. He's on foot, he's running, he's exhausted, he's fleeing for his life, and Jael sees him. She recognizes him, knows who he is, and she kind of pulls the tent back, and she says, hey, hide in here. And, you know, I'm imagining Sisera thinking, this is awesome, and Jael's thinking something entirely different, okay? We'll catch that in just a moment. So he gets there, and he asks, can I have some water to drink? And he's, you know, he's hot, he's tired, he's exhausted, he's thirsty. What she does is she gives him some warm milk. And then because he's tired, and to protect him and hide him, she pulls a rug over him. And so now he's got a full belly. He's lying down on the ground. He's covered up with a warm blanket. And, you know, the adrenaline rush is kind of coming down. And what happens? He falls asleep. I'm going to read from the Word of God here. Judges chapter 4, verse 21. Now bear in mind before I read this, there is no 911. There is no panic room. There is no, you know, lifeline button or anything. I mean, there's nowhere to run for help. She did what she felt was necessary in order to protect her loved ones, her family. Judges chapter 4, verse 21. But Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand. Then she went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple until it went down into the ground while he was lying fast asleep from weariness. I'm not sure the last three words are even needed, but it says, so he died. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for coming. We'll see you here next week. Men, if this passage becomes one of your wife's favorite verses in the Bible, we have counseling that's available. I can refer you somewhere. But I include this story today because sometimes there are women who don't think they're strong. There are women who always see themselves as weak, as being a victim, as not having what it takes. And I want you to know something this morning. God made you strong. God created you to be strong. God did not create you to be a victim. God created you strong, and you are capable of more than you think. And maybe you're one of those people who doesn't want to give your heart to someone because you feel that that might make you vulnerable and weak. But let me tell you this, God wired you the way that that would make you strong. When you love, it actually increases your strength. God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Now, I'm not saying if you love strong that you're going to, you know, run over a carjacker or that you're going to kill a terrorist or something, but I am saying as you love, God makes you strong. He does something in your life. You are capable of more than you think. You will protect. You will work harder. You will stay up later. You will get up earlier, and somehow, some way, it will all seem natural because you, in your heart of hearts, will do whatever it takes to care for those that God has put in your trust. God wired you that way. Love makes you strong. Number two this morning, Hannah. Hannah was faithful in the good times and the bad times. We could probably flip-flop that. She was faithful in the bad times and the good times. You'll see that in just a moment in the passage. And the activator I want you to write there with this one is prayer. Prayer is what helped make her strong. God has given women the ability to be faithful in the midst of adversity. Faithful, in fact, I'll say this, but then I need to come back from it quickly, so go there and then come back. But faithful, God has made women faithful in such a way that sometimes it's even almost to a fault. And the reason I say that is there are some women who will stay with an abusive man because they want to be faithful and they don't understand that. And we'll talk about that in another sermon. But those guys don't deserve to have a good woman. I'm just going to tell you that right now. But women have that ability to be faithful. And that's a strength that can only come from God, especially when you have somebody on the other end who is not being fair, who doesn't deserve it. That is a strength that only comes from God. But Hannah, her situation wasn't between her and an abusive husband. Her faithfulness was to God. And Hannah's faithfulness was revealed when she wasn't getting her prayer answered. And her faithfulness was revealed when she was getting her prayer answered. Her faithfulness was revealed in the bad times and in the good times. You see, Hannah was married, but she had no children. She desperately wanted children, and so what does she do? She's heartbroken about it. She goes to God's house, and she prays, and she prays, and she prays. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. This is what the Bible says. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." He's a priest. He starts preaching a sermon. But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord." So quick lesson here. She's going through a difficult time. What does she do in the midst of a difficult time? She draws near to the Lord. She gets stronger in the Lord. Hard times can make us better, or they can make us bitter. And the difference is in the I, meaning I. What is my attitude? Where is my heart? Where do I need to be? And in a difficult time, when you draw near to the Lord, you're going to get better, not necessarily bitter. You're going to get stronger. You're going to do better. So that's what we do, and that's what a lot of us have done in difficult times. Something will happen, tragedy will happen, or some difficult situation, or a season of difficulty. And the natural reaction sometimes is to cry out to God, to plead to God. God, help me, help us through this difficult situation. But let me tell you something about my perspective from some time in ministry. Something bad will happen, or a season of difficulty will happen. And someone will begin to draw near to God. They will beg to God for help. They will get into the Word. They'll get more involved in church. They will pour themselves into church. They'll be here every single time the doors are open. They'll go to 9 different churches. They'll be on fire. They'll be open. They're in tune with the Lord. They want God to work in their lives. And I've seen this so many times. God comes through. And then they kind of drift away. Hannah was faithful in the bad times, but also in the good times. She's a great example of this. Check this out as we look further down in chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord," and he worshipped the Lord there. And so she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she drew close to God so that she could have a child. That's what she wanted. Well, she has a child. What does she do? She goes back to church, she takes her child with her, and she left him there. Not only dedicated him to the Lord, but she left him there. That's not what we did last week. Last week we had, I believe it was 7 families and 9 children that we prayed over. We prayed over their families, and we joined in as a church, committing that we would do our part to help them parent their children in such a way that they would have the best opportunity to better know the Lord in their future. We did that. And a few parents tried to leave their kids here, but we tracked them down. We said, "No, you can't do that. You have to take them with you." But she leaves him there. She left him at church. He grows up in church and becomes one of the most influential men in the Bible, one of the most influential characters of the entire Bible. His name was Samuel. If you read his story, he literally changed the course of history, but it was because of his mom's faithfulness in the bad times, not only that, but her faithfulness in the good times. How many of you would say today, if you were honest with yourself, that you are where you are largely because of some effort on behalf of your mom? Anybody? That she kind of prayed you in the right direction. She maybe nagged you from time to time, but she kind of prayed you in the right direction. And we have our moms to thank for pushing us in the right direction. Which leads me to say this. Ladies, your consistent faithfulness to God in the bad times, but more importantly in the good times, will set an example for those around you. As you are faithful to God, bad times, good times, your faithfulness makes people better. But in the interest of full disclosure, there will be times where you'll want to quit. There will be times when you'll want to say, "You know, I just don't know if this is worth it. I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if I can take this anymore." And so, you kind of draw back from the Lord and from the things of God. And there may be times when you feel so blessed and things are going great and all is well, and you kind of take a vacation from God and you kind of step back and you kind of get a little farther from His Word and you're not as active in church. And there may be a time when you're tempted to do that. I'm telling you, don't do that. Don't do it. stay faithful, stay close to God in the bad times and in the good times. And some of you are saying, well, you know, things are pretty good right now. I mean, we're doing pretty good right now. They may not be as good as God would like them to be in your life. Stay faithful, stay close to God. He will bless that. And not only that, he will bless those around you. Number three this morning, woman strong, Eunice. Eunice was able to stand strong alone. For Eunice, I want you to write the words, the word, like as in the word of God, next to the activator concept there. Eunice is Timothy's mom, and we don't know much about her, but we do know quite a bit about her son, Timothy. Let me describe her by describing her son, Timothy. This is what we know about him. He was on fire for Jesus. He's a young man in Paul's time, and because when Paul writes to him, he says this, and I'm paraphrasing a bit, but don't let anyone look down on you. Have them look up to you based on the example that you set. So he's a young man in Paul's time. Paul writes him two letters, 1 and 2 Timothy, and from these letters, we understand Paul depended on Timothy quite a bit. Here's how it would work. Paul would go into these areas. He would start a church. He would get things kind of going. And then there comes a point where he would leave and he would send someone after him like Timothy. And Timothy does this on several occasions. But he would go into the area and Timothy or someone like him would organize the church and appoint leaders in the church and kind of get things structured. So Paul's this kind of big and fiery guy, and there were people that didn't like him and people turned off by him. And so he was out there on the edge, and Timothy appears to be a little more laid back, a little more reserved, a little more organized. And so Paul saw something in Timothy and he knew, hey, this can be a help to the church. And so he pairs up with him, mentors him, if you will, and it helps get the church on its feet organizationally. So much so that today, 2016, we are still having church by and large because of people like Timothy and his efforts. We know Timothy was a good guy. Why do we know Timothy was a good guy? We know Timothy was a good guy because of his mama. He was a good guy because of his mom. We have his mom to thank for many of the things that we do with church today. For the fact that the early church grew strong and would continue, not just for years or decades, but centuries. Here's what Paul says about Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. So his strong faith was modeled, first of all, and handed down from grandma to mom to Timothy. What's interesting about his life is we know virtually nothing about his dad. We don't know much about him at all. We know that his mom had been Jewish at some point. Now she's Christian. Maybe his dad was Greek, supposedly not a follower of Jesus Christ. Some people speculate he wasn't in the picture at all. Maybe he was dead. I don't know if he abandoned Timothy and Eunice. We don't know. We know this much. Timothy was raised in his faith in Jesus Christ by his mom. I can give you 50 reasons this morning why children need a mom and a dad. But I also will say this, I know that sometimes things happen. I know that some of you this morning find yourself in that situation or are considering that situation. And I know that sometimes you find yourself in a single parent home, but God will give you the strength to steer the family in the right direction. It's not easy. It's not the preferred way. It's going to be very, 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 very difficult. And that's why you need God's help to help you do it. Maybe you're not a single parent, but you're the only believing parent. And so it seems to you that this is you're the only one who cares about this. Don't let that be an excuse to not handle it or to settle for less. Use it as a reason to get stronger in the Lord, to get into the Bible and to memorize some key passages and talk to your kids about this as you do life. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We read this text last week as we were praying with families. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You know, I said last week, I don't think this necessarily means you got to have a 2-hour Bible study in your house, studying the Hebrew and Greek language with your kids every single day. No, But it does mean, more often than not, what we should be doing, every single one of us, is talking to our kids throughout the normal events of the day to talk about the Lord, to keep Him in the forefront of the conversation. I paraphrased Deuteronomy 6 to kind of make it practical for us, and I kind of want to read that this morning. You must love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength. Memorize key passages from the Bible. Personalize them. Obey them. Talk to your children about them. Talk about them all the time. Talk about them when you sit down to eat together. Talk about them when you're standing in line at the restaurant. If you're running errands in a car, if you're working on chores at home, whether you're on your way to practice or to the game or watching the game on TV, shopping or at the waiting room at the orthodontist, always include God in your conversations as if He is there, because He is. As if He has good plans for your kids, because He does. Teach them that He is ever-present and ever-loving, and because God is part of the normal and typical conversations of your family, spend time with your family so that your children will know wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you see, whatever you talk about, whatever happens, God is not only a part of your life, He is your life. He is your priority. He is honored above all, over all, in your family and in your heart. Be an example to your kids. I hope that resonates with you. But I believe this, if you will do that, God will give you the strength you need to lead your family in the right direction. Maybe you think, well, I just don't know if I have what it takes. Just, there's some simple things you can do. Talk about God in your everyday life, and He will help you lead your family in the right direction. I started with this verse. I want to kind of touch on it again here. Proverbs chapter 31 again. Verse 25. Solomon is describing a woman of noble character. And in verse 25 he says this, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come." Some versions again will say she is clothed in strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Now what is interesting to me about this verse, and why I chose this verse to kind of book in this message this morning, is in our culture today, strength and dignity don't seem to go together. In our media-driven, social media, pop culture, get attention any way you can get it, that's the kind of world we live in. A lot of women will give up their dignity or lose their dignity in order to be perceived as strong, what the world considers as strong. The verse says she is clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs at what is to come. She can laugh at the days to come. So if you're a strong woman and you are dignified, God blesses that. He gives her joy for the future, a positive outlook. God needs more strong women. Dignified women, strong women who can face the future with assurance. They may not know what the future holds, but they know who holds the future, right? Because they are strong in the Lord. This morning, God needs you to be strong. Whether you are male or female, dad, mom, grandpa, grandma, God needs you to be strong. He needs more strong followers. He needs more bold followers. And if you don't have strength today, I want you to know this. God will give you the strength you need if you draw close to Him. If you draw close to Him. That's the takeaway this morning. Where do you need God to give you strength? Maybe you need to revisit your concept of love and the people who are loved ones of yours. Maybe you need to spend more time in prayer, more time talking with God and conversing with Him. Maybe you need to spend more time in His Word. Draw close to Him. And in our weakness, He becomes strong. You know, we're called to lay down everything at the foot of the cross. In our weakness, He becomes strong. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to challenge you. Why not make that decision today? That's where it starts. You lay your life down at the foot of the cross, and He dwells in you in His Spirit. The same Spirit that God says raised Jesus from the dead is available to us to help us live everyday life, to live it in the way God called us to do so. We get that kind of strength in our lives to make it and do what we need to do and be who we need to be as we draw close to God. Let's stand up this morning. Again, if you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today would be a great day to do that. Why not on Mother's Day 2016? You'd make your mama proud. Most likely. If you need prayer this morning, we would love to pray with you as well. Let's bow together. God in heaven, we do love you. And we thank you. We thank you especially for today, for our mothers, for the strength that they had to raise us, to put up with us, to get us headed in the right direction. They weren't perfect. They made mistakes. But God, they loved us. So we ask that you would bless them today on this special day. Help all of us, whether we are men or women, help us to find our strength in you. That as we are weak, you are made strong. Help us to draw near to you. Give us what we need every day, the grace that we need every day. Help us to love one another. Help us to draw close to you through your word, through prayer. Father, as we leave this place, help us to be bold. Help us to be strong. Again, I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing together this morning.